This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This morning also, we are taking a look at the US-China Phase 1 trade deal, which was signed this week. The question is, of course, is this a sign of better things to come? After all, Singapore did just dodge a technical recession and Hong Kong was mired with political unrest, which troubled its economy through most of 2019. So what can we expect for economies in the Asian region? Now, for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning, Selena Ling, Head of Economics at OCBC. Thank you for joining us, Selena. Now, a big spanner in the works to the economy last year was the trade war. But now that we've seen phase one signed, how do you think this will affect regional economies and which one would benefit the most from the deal?
Well, I think, like you mentioned, last year, a lot of the market volatility and economic uncertainties was driven by headline news about, you know, the trade war between the US and China. Now that we've got the phase one deal signed, it's an encouraging sign. I think risk sentiments obviously have taken off this morning. We are seeing regional equities rallying on the open. But I think in terms of the longer term implications for the real economy, there are a couple of things to consider. I mean, first is that if China buys more goods and services from the US over the next 2 years, this probably will come at the expense of some of the other countries that used to export to China, for instance. So depending on whether it's manufactured goods, agriculture or energy or even the services side, some emerging markets, possibly even within the region, will see some negative short-term impact. But net-net, I think more stable US-China relations actually would benefit all of the Asian markets.
And meanwhile, let's look at the country you're from, Singapore. I mean, it narrowly escaped a technical recession last year. A key driver, of course, is its services sector. But how do you think the sector will perform this year and also the broader economy?
Okay, as you know, services sector actually contributes about two-thirds of the Singapore economy. So it managed to clock in growth, positive growth of about 1.1% last year. So it did most of the heavy lifting because manufacturing, on the other hand, actually shrank 1.5% last year. So I think going forward, as long as the domestic labour market remains quite stable and resilient, we should see private consumption continuing to hold up. And you may have seen the news from the Economic Development Board. Actually, last year, Singapore attracted a bumper crop of foreign direct investments. So I think overall, we are still seeing foreign investments come in. The domestic labour market remains fairly resilient. Services growth, we think, for 2020 should continue to be steady around 1 to 2%. So that kind of gives us confidence that we should see 2020 GDP growth also in the range of 1 to 2% year on year.
Now, Selena, your forecast for the Malaysian ringgit is about 4.04 against the dollar. That's slightly stronger than the 4.06 currently. What's your view premised on?
Well, we think that the global economic cues, mainly in the form of US-China trade negotiations progress as seen by the signing of the Phase 1 deal, and also the macroeconomic stabilization, the green shoots that we are starting to see in both the global and the Asian economies, all this actually bode quite well for Asian currencies in general. So we think that if we see a more noticeable growth recovery coming through, you know, in the second quarter, third quarter of this year, this will actually provide a platform for sustained inflows into the Asian assets. So we've already seen like equity inflows and bond inflows into the region, including Malaysia. In fact, if you look at the foreign reserve accumulation picture and also the foreign holdings in terms of the MGS for Malaysia, it's actually very off to a very good start in 2020. So we think that although there is still some weakness on the export side, but this is no different from the rest of Asia and hopefully will pick up in the months to come. So net-net, if the dollar is going to be on a slightly weaker setting, we think there's actually room for, you know, dollar ringgit to move down to 4.04 by year end.
Now, Selena, we've also seen central banks across the board maintain low interest rates. Do you see Asian central banks following this trend in 2020? And are there any central banks in the region that you have your eye on which might buck this trend?
Well, I think really the Fed is the one who sets the ball rolling. Basically, they are in wait-and-see mode. They are quite comfortable with the growth and inflation dynamics for now. They don't see any urgency to cut further. And that kind of sets the stage for a lot of the other Asian central banks as well. After a period of policy accommodation in 2019, mainly to mitigate some of the downside growth risks arising from the trade war and the China slowdown story, a lot of the Asian central banks are essentially on hold. And we'll probably see the Bank of Korea today, for instance, also remaining static. I think one central bank in the region that actually might buck this trend really would be China's PBOC, mainly because we have seen them cut, you know, triple R requirements consecutive times last year, and even at the start of this year. And the indications are they're trying to guide their new loan prime rate lower so as to lower the funding costs for the real economy. So I think China for now really would still be acting more on having a prudent but flexible monetary policy stance in order to try and keep growth from decelerating too fast.
And Selena, which economies are you most and also least optimistic about in the region for this year?
Well, I think for one, mainly because policy settings, like I mentioned, remain fairly accommodative in China. We do think that the Chinese economy, assuming this trade peace holds with the U.S. for the rest of this year for phase two negotiations, we probably will see the 2020 growth handle anchored around the 6% handle. So I think if they can actually target a very steady growth around the 6% handle, that is actually a very benign picture for the rest of Asia as well. So in terms of 2023 growth outlook, we think that, you know, Indonesia, for instance, probably could see a little bit of an uptick to around 5.2%. Malaysia, we think probably in the slightly lower half of the 4 to 5% range. And I think for Singapore, like I mentioned earlier, we're looking at about 1 to 2%, which is actually double of that 0.8% that we saw last year. So I think net-net, actually, we're looking for a fairly stable growth picture across most of Asia, especially in ASEAN itself.
Thank you very much, Selena. And that was Selena Ling of OCBC in Singapore, giving us her take on the Asian region this year, particularly in the wake of the US-China Phase 1 trade deal signing. Now, she's of the opinion that Malaysia's economy is going to come in at about the between 4 to 5%, slightly in the lower range of the 4 to 5%, which does seem to be rather the consensus among the banks, doesn't it? Everyone is coming in lower than the 4.8%. That the government is projecting.
Yeah, I think there's been a bit of a question mark as to how did the government get their 4.8% projection.
Ollie the Octopus. Someone should ask Ollie the Octopus. I think he might be more accurate.
Well, Peck Boon-Soon, the RHB ASEAN economist in that market outlook that we had day before yesterday, he actually said that the government got the 4.8% forecast because they are looking at the IMF global growth of 3.4%, which I think a lot of economists also wonder whether that number in the first place is overly optimistic. I mean, I hope the government's right. We do want a better GDP growth number, right? Otherwise, the consensus is probably going to come in at around 4.5 or 4.4 for 2020. Maybe there might be some improvement coming from plantation sector. Who knows? The multiplier effect from the mega projects might really help. But, you know, it's a bit of a lofty goal, I have to say.
And the other thing that Selena did say that I thought was interesting was her 4.04 ringgit forecast for the ringgit, right? So that was based on a forecast of growth recovery in the second quarter. And so she was saying that they've already seen the equity inflows starting, so supporting their 4.04 number.
Well, currently foreign shareholding is at its all-time low, actually. It's only about 22-23%
of the stock exchange.
So yes, hopefully we see more foreign fund flows in the equity. But for MGS, yes, it has been quite strong. It stands now at about 41.6%, the highest since we've seen in mid-2018. The only risk is if we get removed from the FTSE Russell World Global Bond Index, which there's a review coming up in March. Likely we'll stay in there, but the big review comes in September. So there's always this risk that hangs over us at this moment.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.